You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Maybe your weekend involves spending time and money at a place like this.
Here's the story of every burger ever made at TGI Fridays.
There's Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
We're America's favorite neighbor, Applebee's.
But the numbers behind chains like Applebee's, Buffalo Wild Wings, TGI Fridays tell us you're going less than you used to. Casual dining chains are now the worst performing segment of the entire restaurant industry. And the number of people eating at them has fallen every single month for the past 2 years. That's according to data from MillerPulse. So what's happening? Using Lancaster, Pennsylvania as a lens for this story, writer Elizabeth Dunn investigated the decline of the suburban sit-down chain and what it says about the middle class for the website Eater.
So I grew up going to TGI Fridays in high school, and I remember at the time it being the kind of place that basically everybody I knew went to. And those places, TGI Fridays, Applebee's, what we call casual dining restaurants, have started to close. They've started to go bankrupt. Traffic has been down across the country. And I just wanted to figure out why.
There is a moment in your story in which you say, well, it could be millennials want things catered to them and artisanal this and that. And yet the data maybe told you a different story.
The decline of these restaurants seemed to coincide with polarizing incomes in the United States. So the higher wage earners in America earning more and more, and the middle class getting smaller, and a lot of America feeling more and more squeezed.
So if people are moving down the socioeconomic ladder, and some people are moving up it, I guess, what, this hollowing out just has taken away the customer base?
Sure. So the most visible way in which TGI Fridays and places like it are challenged is maybe these independent bistros that people are going to when they can afford a more expensive meal. But what's not necessarily as visible is the people who aren't doing as well and who aren't going to TGI Fridays because a $14 meal is really kind of a lot.
Yeah. And when you went to Lancaster, what did you observe?
So first of all, I was looking for some place that reflected small town, or what you might call average America. And Lancaster fit a lot of those criteria. I saw that TGI Fridays is located in a large mall. You know, Fridays was not very busy. There were a few couples in there each time that I went, you know, a couple families maybe eating after shopping. But downtown Lancaster was booming. And so having people re-enter the city in that way really gives an advantage to smaller independent restaurants in a downtown.
There's another wrinkle here, the rise of technology. The idea that if you want, you know, dinner and a movie, you can actually do that at home. How do you think that has played into this?
Yeah, so I was really curious to see that traffic at casual dining restaurants turned negative over the long term about a decade ago. And what else happened about a decade ago? Well, in 2007, the iPhone was invented, and Netflix also launched its streaming service. Cast your memory back to a time 15 years ago when, if you were looking for options for how to spend your time, going to a TGI Fridays and shooting the breeze was something that really might be of value to you. And now people are spending a whole lot more time just wanting to retreat into their homes, watch the latest Netflix binge, and just kind of text, go on Facebook. And so that has certainly challenged restaurants, which have the proposition of, you know, coming in and eating in-house.
There are some exceptions to this rule. Olive Garden is the really notable one. What is it, and what are other restaurants like it doing right?
Yes, and Olive Garden, one of the things that they've done really well is really invest in their food quality so that when people do, you know, go out to a meal like this, that they know that they're going to have a guaranteed good experience. The food is going to be good. There's also Texas Roadhouse is doing really well, and they're credited with providing an experience that's more than just about the food. There's country music, the server's lion dance, and so that's sort of an experiential meal for people.
Applebee's has put some money into trying to sort of change some of their menu, change their experience. Are they in this category too?
Applebee's is doing probably even worse than TGI Fridays. They're really, really struggling. And one of the reasons is because their menu is just less focused than some of the other options. They also play to a lower price point. They're one of the cheapest casual dining restaurants. And so I think their target consumer is among the most squeezed.
If you try and look forward, where do these restaurant chains go?
What I imagine will happen is that some of these chains will survive, and they'll do that by really focusing on value, not in terms of cheap menu prices, but by making sure that people have a good experience when they come in, the food quality is good, they're feeling like they're leaving the restaurant having had a guaranteed experience.
Elizabeth Dunn covers the business of food and drinks. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
As the industry declines, chain franchise owners are scrambling. Ruby Tuesday was sold this week to a private equity firm. Buffalo Wild Wings plans to close 60 restaurants. Applebee's will shut 135 locations this year. Our producer, Peter Ballinon-Rosen, headed to the Applebee's closest to our New York studio and joined the franchise owner in a little soul searching.
Can I get another side of onion ring, please? Thank you.
My name is Zane Tankel.
I have a 12-meeting rare coming up.
I'm the CEO of Apple Metro, Inc., which owns and operates about 40 restaurants in and around the New York metropolitan area. They're all Applebee's, yes. We're now in the kitchen. An order is taken out in the restaurant, and it comes up on a screen here. If it goes red, it says we're over 14 minutes. We have a metric that we want to have the food back on the table 14 minutes from when it's ordered.
Your 8 has onion rings, your 12 has green beans.
What exacerbated the Applebee's demise was that it made a wrong decision to try and capture the millennial. And they abandoned the traditional Applebee's customer. The marketing proposition was hand-cut wood fire grill. We looked like anything but what we really were.
This is Sharp. How are you, sir? How's it going?
60 days after we started that program, you just saw the guest counts dwindling. It was dramatic. It was sinking like a rock. Our sales started tanking early on, 2% a month, 3% a month. The second year, they started to deteriorate 7%, 8%, 12% a month. And it just continued to deteriorate no matter what we did. I have an email trail of my letters to management about how it was wrong, what was wrong. You can see in my email started very politically correct. And at the end, I was actually cursing in writing, using words that you wouldn't dare ever put in writing because it was just nuts. So what we are doing is we're going back to what sold the best, shifting from a survival mode to the back to basics mode. What do we do that's special? Eye contact.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Big
today?
Smile.
You too for dinner or just drink?
Big greeting when you walk in the door. Big goodbye when you go out the door. All the little things that make it an experience. It's all about the experience.
Bye-bye, guys. Thank you for coming.
That was Applebee's franchise owner, Zane Tankel.